temporarily reduce or suspend weather balloon launches that could have an impact on the accuracy of weather forecasts. And Eli Lilly says its investigative weight loss pill saw users with type 2 diabetes shed up to 16 pounds. You're listening to ABC News.
Progressive knows owning a home can be hard, but not always. Like when you're relaxing on your patio, enjoying a nice quiet evening. Ah, so quiet. Except for the sound of the neighbor's party. Which you said you'd go to if you weren't busy. And your quiet night on the patio, that's not exactly busy, is it? Maybe you should just stay inside. At least Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare rates, so shopping for insurance is the easiest part of owning a home. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whether your Easter plans have you stepping out on Sunday or hosting a group at home, Macy's Easter Sale has great deals on everything you'll need to celebrate. Like 50% off dressy brunch looks to level up your whole family style. And 50 to 60% off hosting must-haves like the classic Butterfly Meadow Collection from Lennox. But don't miss out, because just like an Easter egg hunt, there's so much to discover. But you gotta move quick. At Macy's Easter Sale, today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. is disputing the medical theory that the increase in American children with autism is because parents and doctors are getting better at recognizing the disorder.
And he disagreed with government scientists who say that right now, autism can't be prevented.
We know it's an environmental exposure. It has to be. Genes do not cause epidemics.
In his many years before Washington, Kennedy has often suggested that this environmental toxin was likely one of the vaccines that Americans give their children, a skeptical view that many in the medical world feel is a dangerous one.
That's ABC Steve Osunsami. Supporters call a Texas vote a positive step towards parental choice. Detractors say it's an assault on public education.
Mr. Speaker,
11 hours of debate punctuated by shouting and a broken speaker's gavel.
My answer!
Ended at about 2 in the morning when the Texas House voted 85 to 63 to create a system of taxpayer-funded vouchers that parents can use to either homeschool their kids or send them to private schools. The plan's backers insist that would push underperforming public schools to up their game. Opponents say it strips funding from public education. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Football coach turned TV legend Lee Corso is putting on the headgear one more time. The 89-year-old is retiring from ESPN's College Game Day after the Week 1 broadcast. ESPN is owned by Disney, the parent company of ABC News. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And it is 8:06 in the morning. Good morning, Mid-Columbia Today. Mark Bailey, Cameron Eisenberg has got things handled in the studio across the glass here. And thank you for joining us on this Thursday, the 17th of April. Looks like it's going to be another great, beautiful day outside in the Columbia Gorge and sunny highs in the 60s. Not bad for the month of April. And looks like it's going to be a pretty good Easter weekend ahead. Maybe a little bit of a shower on Saturday morning in the forecast being hinted at. Other than that, though, it looks pretty good. Well, here's what we're doing this morning. First half of the show, Dr. Johanna Varner is going to join us, Cascades PICA Watch. She is their scientific advisor. We'll talk about a training being done on May 10th. There'll be one of those trainings here in the Gorge, and we'll talk about why this little animal has become such a focus and why they look for volunteers to help track it in our region. So we'll do that in the first part of the show. Second half, Dr. Kristen Kendall from Providence Hood River Women's Clinic. She's an OBGYN. She is going to be in studio with us, and we'll talk to her. But first, I think I still remember how the format of my own show goes. We are going to tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1961, some 1,400 CIA-trained Cuban exiles launched the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba in an attempt to topple Fidel Castro, whose forces crushed the incursion within 3 days. 1964, Jerry Mock completed the first solo around-the-world flight by a woman, leading her single-engine Cessna plane in Columbus, Ohio, after a 29-day journey. 1969, a jury in Los Angeles convicted Sirhan Sirhan of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Sirhan's death sentence would be commuted to life in prison with the possibility of parole. He remains in prison today. 1970, Apollo 13 astronauts James Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swigert splashed down safely in the Pacific 4 days after a ruptured oxygen tank crippled their spacecraft while en route to the moon. 1972, the Boston Marathon allowed women to compete for the first time. Nina Kuschick was the first officially recognized women's champion with a time of 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 26 seconds. 1975, Cambodia's 5-year civil war ended as the capital Phnom Penh fell to the Khmer Rouge, which installed brutal, radical policies that claimed an estimated 1.7 million lives, nearly 1 in 4 Cambodians, until the regime was overthrown in 1979. 1991, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 3,000 for the first time, ending the day at 3,004.46. That was up 1,758. 1993, a federal judge in Los Angeles convicted two former police officers of violating the civil rights of beaten motorist Rodney King. Two other officers were acquitted. Days for today, it is Bat Appreciation Day, as in appreciating the bat. It's also Get to Know Your Customers Day, which if you're in business, you really should do. It's International Ford Mustang Day today, an iconic vehicle in American car history. It's National Ask an Atheist Day today. I would assume this is for a different perspective on Easter Sunday. It's National High Five Day today. No reason why, just apparently a high five, folks. Maybe you high five somebody after a big play on kickball because it's National Kickball Day, which somehow became a thing for a lot of people in the last few years. I'm not sure they're doing it as much anymore. As well, it became a bit of a faddish craze here a few years ago for adults to play kickball. I do remember playing it as a child, and then I graduated to a ball and a bat and played baseball at that point. It's Take Action for Libraries Day today, which does remind one, actually, that Feast of Words is coming up next weekend for the Hood River Library, so you can take action that way and enjoy a good evening as well next Saturday. HoodRiverLibrary.org. And finally, something I think we appreciate here on this show, it is Blah 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 Day, as in blah blah blah, which I realize some of you think is what happens on this show pretty much on a routine basis. Our food today, National Crawfish Day. Now, in a couple of weeks, the Hood River Valley Adult Center's got their Mardi Gras event they're going to have, and they're going to have a crawfish boil. So this is a bit early, but you can get tickets for it today at the Hood River Valley Adult Center, and you'll be ready to go. And it's also National Cheese Ball Day today. That's as in the snack, light kind of Cheetos type thing, but they're in a ball. I know somebody makes them. I can't remember who. Of course, I never was a big fan of them, so I'm not sure why I would know who made them. So there it is for what it's worth. In many cases, it may not have been a whole lot. It is 8:11 in the morning. We'll come back, talk pikas after this.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
The Hood River Valley High School Booster Club needs you. The Booster Club raises funds to support clubs, sports, and activities for Hood River Valley High School students. It's a great chance if you enjoy connecting with others and helping your community's youth. Monthly meetings are held every second Monday of the month at 5:30 at Hood River Valley High School. We can make the best experience possible for our students with your help. You can volunteer to help the Hood River Valley High School Booster Club by going to hrvboosterclub.com. That's hrvboosterclub.com.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles baseball and softball. Stay with KIHR, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM, and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles action all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Brown Roofing, Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation, Hood River Leschwab Tire Center, and Keith Howell Country Financial.
The Eagles softball team hosts Putnam Friday at 4:45 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:13 in the morning. We're happy to have with us now from the Cascades Pico Watch, Scientific Advisor Dr. Johanna Varner. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for having us back again. I do need to ask if I'm remembering how to pronounce this correctly. It is pica, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I just wanted to, well, I wanted to make sure. I always forget this one. But we've talked about this on the show before. We've had you on, I think, a couple of years ago about what this effort is. The Cascades Pica Watch, what's taking place through this?
Yeah, so Cascades Pica Watch is a really cool participatory science program, and it's housed at the Oregon Zoo. Basically, we invite anybody to help keep an eye on pikas, which are these small mammals. They're closely related to rabbits. They are the inspiration for Pikachu, which sometimes leads people to pronounce it pika. they live in rock slides and boulder fields in the Columbia River Gorge between about Hood River and, you know, all the way up to almost to Troutdale. And they are sensitive to environmental changes and climate change in parts of their range, but they seem to be doing really well in the Columbia River Gorge in spite of the Eagle Creek fire. And so Cascades Pica Watch is basically, we're inviting anybody who's interested in helping us to keep an eye on these adorable and interesting animals to sign up for training, learn how to identify them, learn where to find them, and then make observations at a set of sort of predetermined monitoring sites.
Now, if I recall correctly, pika was usually found at higher elevations, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They're usually considered to be kind of high elevation alpine specialists. And so across most of their range in western North America, we find them in habitats more like what we see kind of up by the Timberline Trail on Mount Hood. But the Columbia River Gorge is literally the lowest elevation that we find this species across its entire range. So it's a super special population.
Have we been able to determine at this point, I guess maybe theories as to why they're in the gorge as at low an elevation as they are?
Yeah, so that actually was a big part of my PhD research. I was based, I'm based right now in Colorado, but all of my research was done in Oregon about 10 years ago. And what we found is that the temperatures that the pikas experience down in the rock slides in the gorge are actually cooler and more constant throughout the day than even what they experience up on Mount Hood. So in spite of the fact that they're at this really low elevation, they experience these really nice, cool, comfortable, we would call it a microclimate, a little place where the climate that the animal is experiencing is different from the climate that we would experience hiking around. The other thing that seems to be going on is that they're eating kind of a unique food source. So a lot of the rock slides in that area are covered with moss, which also helps other plants to grow right on the rocks. And so they are able to eat the moss, probably as a result of some help from some special gut microbes that help them to digest it. And this allows them to not have to travel outside of the rocks to find food the way that they would up in the boulder fields on Mount Hood. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like it's kind of a special habitat down there that's really allowing this population to live so far outside of what we would consider to be its typical habitat.
How much did the Eagle Creek fire impact all this?
Yeah, so the Eagle Creek fire in some parts of the Pecos Range, especially there on the Oregon side, was really, really severe and burned a lot of the habitat and the vegetation around the rock slides, but also that moss cover that seems to be so important. And with Cascades Pica Watch in 2018 and 2019, right after the fire, we were able to document that there definitely was a decline in the number of sites where we found pikas compared to before the fire. But now that it's been, it's kind of unbelievable to say this, but I think it's been 8 years now since that fire.
Yeah.
And it seems that population has rebounded quite a bit in terms of where we find them and also in terms of how many animals that we're seeing. And I think that a big part of that is just that we're seeing a lot of the regrowth of this vegetation. And right after fires, sometimes we actually find that they actually stimulate the growth of sort of fresh, new, young flowers, grasses, even young shrubs or trees that the pikas can make use of. So while it's going to be a long time before we see that full recovery of that moss cover, just because mosses are so slow, it seems like there's enough food now to kind of support this population to be able to go back to some of these sites where we used to see them.
So now let's curl into the involvement of volunteers. And this has been going on for a few years now with Cascades Pica Watch. This year, what are you focusing on?
Yeah, so we, you know, the Cascades Pica Watch program actually started a long time ago in 2011, but it really, you know, everything got kind of paused during the pandemic, and it really kind of came back in full force about 2 years ago. So this is our third season of what we're calling its revival. In addition to continuing to monitor some of those severely burned sites in the gorge, where we're still seeing kind of lower population numbers, the other thing that we're going to be focusing on this year is we're going to have volunteers monitoring some sites kind of on the edges of the distribution of the habitat. So those are sort of the east-west edges of the gorge on both the Oregon side and the Washington side. And the idea behind this is basically that, you know, if we're going to see any kind of effects of climate change or land use changes on this population, the places where we're going to see those changes happen first are right at the edges of the distribution, not kind of in the core part of the range where the species seems to be doing best. So we've added some new sites last year and this year to help us get a better handle on what's going on there. And we're hopeful that these long-term kinds of observations that we're getting from these programs are really going to be useful for land managers to make decisions about managing this particularly cool population of pikas.
I would assume also that the study of the pikas and how they have adapted is something that also gets translated to maybe inform us on other species as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we know that, you know, this special population of pikas definitely is dependent on both the vegetation in the gorge and also these kind of unique microclimates or these unusual temperatures. And there's a lot of other species that are found in the gorge that depend on the same resources. That would include things like bushy-tailed pack rats, and there are several species of talus roosting bats that actually live in rock slides and boulder fields in the gorge. But those species are a lot harder to observe, and they're a lot harder to detect than pikas. Because pikas are easy to detect, they're pretty easy to identify and distinguish from other species that you might see in here, and they're super cute. So it's fun to go look for them. It can tell us a lot about how the habitat is changing. We would usually call that an indicator species. So seeing declines in pikas can tell us that the habitat might be changing for other species as well, and can give us kind of an early warning signal of those changes.
So when the volunteers go out, I mean, I probably should step back here and ask you about what a volunteer, I guess, needs to know to take part in this effort. I know it's fairly simple when you break it all down.
Yeah, it's fairly simple. We provide all of the training that you would need. You can either attend an in-person training, or you can, if the dates or times don't work for you, we also have an online Google Classroom training that's basically open to anybody, and is something that you can participate it with basically unlimited capacity. And in those trainings, we go over a couple of key skills for contributing to those surveys. Those include the ability to identify pikas and distinguish them from other species that you might find. It also includes how to record a GPS locate point of your location, and that tells us basically that you're at the site that you think that you're at, how to take pictures of the habitat, and then how to submit your data to our sort of data infrastructure, and how to choose a hike, how to access the maps, things like that.
And it's pretty much, this work is just done on the trails, isn't it?
Right, yeah, all of our sites are available on publicly accessible trails, and we provide a lot of information, too, about how to get to each site from different trailheads, what kinds of permits you might need. Like, some of the sites require a Northwest Forest Pass or a public lands access kind of situation, but it's all open to the public. You don't need any kind of, you know, special permissions or anything to access any of these sites, and we ask folks to stay on trail just mostly for their own safety, but also so that we don't contribute to any further degradation of the pika's habitat.
Now, usually when the pikas are observed, is it usually by sight or is it by sound?
It's a combination. Definitely they are very detectable by sound, and that's one of the things that I think makes them a cool study organism. So they're lagomorphs, which means that they're related to rabbits and hares, but they're actually the only species of lagomorphs that vocalize, are members of the pika family. So they sound a little bit like a squeak toy, and their calls are super characteristic. And so a lot of times as you approach a site, you'll hear their calls, and they might just be warning each other of the presence of people or dogs on the trail. But if you're lucky, then you'll be able to see them as well. It oftentimes helps to have a pair of binoculars just because they're not usually super close. But with binoculars, you can also find them in the rock slide and see them and observe them. And they're just undeniably really cute.
How many people do you get to take part in this? I mean, how many volunteers have you been able to gather?
Yeah, the last couple of years, we've had record numbers of pikas observed and volunteers observing those pikas. Last year, I think we had almost 1,000 people sign up for the trainings. Wow. Only about 350 or so people actually completed the trainings. Mm-hmm. But we are hoping for at least that many, if not more, this year.
So the trainings, I'll mention the first one that really impacts our area, and that is on May the 10th. You're going to be at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. The trainings are going to take place there.
Yeah, that's right. And that's actually a new venue for us. We're really excited to be partnering with the Gorge Discovery Center, and we're excited to be able to welcome local folks from the Gorge to be able to participate. And we have a little bit higher capacity in that space than we have in the previous years, too. So if you're interested in getting involved, you can go to oregonzoo.org/pika, and that is a place where you can sign up for the trainings.
And also, I think you've got some virtual ones as well.
We do, yeah. So virtual trainings are hosted in Google Classroom, and you can sign up for those at any point during the summer. It's self-paced. It should take about 2 hours, which is about the same amount of time that our in-person trainings take, but it can be done on your own time, especially if the dates and times of our in-person trainings don't work.
Mm-hmm. So one more time, it's go to the Oregon Zoo website, correct?
Right, oregonzoo.org/pika, P-I-K-A.
And again, it is the Cascades Pika Watch for another summer in the area, and continue to observe these fascinating and also, as they're described, very cute animals in the Columbia Gorge.
Yes.
And again, they're at this lower elevation that normally we don't see them at. Dr. Johanna Varner has been our guest. Johanna, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It is 8:25 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. When we come back, we will go ahead and take a look at the news. We'll do that after this.
Big changes are coming to home cooling systems, and waiting could cost you. A lot of AC systems are using outdated refrigerants and are being phased out, making repairs harder and more expensive. A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, voted Best of the Gorge, is here to help. Right now, get up to $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system, replacing R22 with the latest refrigerant technology. It's better for the environment and your wallet. But don't wait. This deal ends May 31st. Does your system qualify? Call us at A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today and stay cool for less.
At Gill's Point S Tire and Auto Service, we believe your tires should be the last thing you have to worry about during winter driving season. With fantastic prices on the best tire brands, Gill's Point S helps you save on what matters most. We make it easy with financing options to help you get the tires you need without breaking the bank, a price match guarantee, and tire warranties honored at our locations nationwide. Shop tires online or come see us. There's no stress with Gill's Point S. Visit us in the Dalles and Hood River or schedule online at gillspointstire.com.
No stress with Point S.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road, on the Heights in Hood River.
8:28 in the morning, Wasco County Commissioners are submitting a letter outlining issues they feel need to be addressed when an application is submitted to the Oregon Department of Energy for the proposed Deschutes Solar and Battery Energy Storage System facility. The facility proposed by Bright Knight LLC is about 10 miles southwest of Maupin. County Planning Division Director Daniel Doherty told the commission the solar project is a bit different than others proposed in the region because of its proximity to the White River and Pine Grove. The county says in its letter that if the land use and fish and wildlife habitat studies for the project do not incorporate all the Pine Grove and White River natural areas, they should be expanded to do so. The City of Hood River has been awarded an Accelerated Mobility Playbook Technical Grant from City Thread, a national nonprofit organization that aims to make communities safer and better connected through transportation. The grant is to provide expert guidance, facilitating collaboration among local leaders and stakeholders, and connecting the city with a national network of peer communities working towards similar goals. While the City of Hood River has no walking or biking master plan, active transportation has been a focus through several planning efforts, including the creation of a Safe Routes to School plan funded by the Oregon Department of Transportation. Since the plan was accepted by the City Council in 2022, nearly $10 million in funding has been raised for programs and infrastructure. The grant will provide strategy to assist with Safe Routes to School network implementation and project coordination, build effective community partnerships, and amplify public support for the program's infrastructure improvements. Oregon's unemployment rate ticked up a tenth of a point in March to 4.6%, continuing a gradual rise from 4.1% in March of 2024. Oregon Employment Department statistics show the rate is at its highest point since August 2021. Oregon did add 7,300 non-farm payroll jobs in March, Department economist Gail Krumenauer says the end of the Providence strike dominated that. The health care and social assistance sector added 18,400 jobs in the past 12 months, accounting for most of the state's increase of 24,700 jobs in the past year. The U.S. unemployment rate was 4.2% in March, 4.1% in February. Climbing season is picking up on Mount Hood, and visitors planning to travel above an elevation of 9,500 feet need a climbing permit. The Mount Hood National Forest says permit fees fund climbing rangers, climbing safety information, and natural resources protection. Permits are available as a single-trip three-day pass for $20 or an annual pass for $50. No advance registration is no advance reservations are needed, and there is no limit on the number of permits issued. Climbing permits are available for purchase anytime on recreation.gov up to the start of one's climb. Permits are required year-round. The Forest Service says every year up to 10,000 people climb Mount Hood, and it is not uncommon for visitors with little or no mountaineering experience to attempt the technical ascent of the 11,240-foot peak. Mid-Columbia mornings time is now at 8:31. Our weather for today going to be sunny, highs low to mid-60s. Easterly winds 10 miles per hour. Could be gustier in the Dalles area. 47 degrees right now in Hood River, 46 in the Dalles.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Whoa, whoa, more fiber?
What?
Down here, buddy. It's me, your spoon. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, but Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the OSAA, are the 99,000 high school sports and performing arts students in Oregon. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, debate team members, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, officials, and adjudicators. We stand for the drummers, football players, and actors. We stand for the golfers, singers, and swimmers. We stand as the national leader and advocate for these essential activities and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:34 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I may have to tap dance for a little bit here, folks. Our guest isn't here yet. Oh, I think somebody's, well, maybe somebody's coming around here. Well, I'll go ahead, before I get too deeply into anything, I'll also use community calendar real quick and remind you that Safe Space Children's Advocacy Center of the Gorge has an open house 3 to 6 today at the center on 206 Wasco Loop in Hood River. Call 541-436-2960 for more information on that. Also, Clickitat County has got a comprehensive plan community outreach meeting once again. This is at the far east part of the county, 6 to 8 this evening at the Alder Creek Grange Hall in Bickleton. What we're going to do is our guest is here, so we're going to bring her on in. What we'll do is we'll take the break. We will go ahead and take our break here a little bit early. We'll do that, and then we'll come back, talk to Dr. Kristen Kendall from Providence Hood River Women's Clinic right after this.
Don't miss the 4th Annual Farm Grass Table Block Party all weekend long, Friday through Easter Sunday. Raffles, vendors, sales, games, prizes, and more. Free taco plate from Gusto's Taco Truck. And bring a friend for Saturday's Stole the Show photo booth. All free with qualifying purchase. See you this weekend at Farm Grass Table.
Oh, yeah.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. For use by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children.
Are you ready to restore balance, reduce stress, and treat sleep issues with the healing energy of love? Unlock your potential with services that range from chakra healing to spiritual coaching.
Hi, this is Deborah Rashidi with Love Energy Healing, where love and healing come together as one. I look forward to meeting you.
Purchase an energy session and enjoy a free gift. Located at 321 East 10th Street, online at love33energy.com. Or call today at 509-281-2225.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series is the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
See Shepherd's, 440 Riverside Drive, Hood River, your Kubota dealer.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is now 8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today on News Radio 1300 1039 in the Dalles, 1340 AM, 98.3 FM in Hood River. And we're now joined by Dr. Kristen Kendall, who is from Providence Hood River Women's Clinic, OBGYN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Providence River Women's Clinic. You were telling me that barely people maybe don't know you're around.
So we've had a number of changes over the last couple of years, and recently I'd heard that there was some confusion that we were still there, and
okay.
So just wanted to basically let people know that we do in fact still exist.
Well, I would think, you know, even though I am not the target market, obviously for what your service is, but you know, obstetrics and gynecology, I assume, is a needed service any place. And you know, so is it can be difficult for people in smaller rural areas like this to find these services?
So yes and no.
Okay.
There's some crossover with women's health, with family medicine and internal medicine that also help cover some of the primary care aspects of women's health.
Mm-hmm.
I currently at Providence Women's Clinic, we have 4 providers, and our specialty is specifically in women's health, in both gynecology and obstetrics. So not just when you have a baby, or not just for your annuals, but we can do all of that, as well as if there is a need for gynecologic surgeries, that would be something that we could do here in Hood River.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to pregnancies, I understand how they come to you. That's pretty easy. But do people, before they come to you, I mean, do they go through their general practitioner first, or how does that work?
Sometimes it kind of depends. A lot of times we will have people that will come just directly to us for a specific problem. But a lot of times they will go see their primary care doctor first.
Mm-hmm.
With one of the, you know, the issues that we've found in Hood River just in general right now is just access to a provider. And so sometimes it can be easier to come directly to us instead of having to go through a primary care doctor. So...
It can be both.
It can be
both at both in that stage. You know, again, this one because I'm all aware of this all on a vague level because I'm married, but that's about where I'm at on this. Are there things? I guess especially I'll move away from the obstetrics part of it. Are there certain elements gynecological health that maybe people don't think about or skip over?
Yeah, so right now I would say there's I think one of the most common things that we have people that are coming to see us comes around the perimenopause type of time frame. This, I think in general, women's health has been kind of, I don't want to say neglected, but that's the word that comes to mind. And recently there's been a pretty big surge of research and just information about women's health, specifically around the 30 to 50-year-old population. And so on one hand, there's a lot of really good information that's coming with that, but there's also a lot of misinformation that's coming with that surge of information available now. And so... one of the things that a lot of people have been, we've been noticing a lot is people coming in and to ask kind of specifically about that. And so I think that's probably, you know, one of the areas that does tend to get overlooked is that normal, healthy woman in who's not having a baby, but doesn't have necessarily a, like a problem that they can just pinpoint, but coming in to look at just finding their best wellness, essentially.
When you say perimenopausal, I mean, I'm familiar with menopausal. The first part, what is that prefix?
So perimenopause would be the time leading up to when you go through menopause. So menopause is after it is defined by going a full year without having a menstrual period. But the time up to that, I've kind of started to describe the way that you go through puberty and all the changes that you go through with that over those years. It's that process, but in reverse as you get closer to menopause. So start having more of the hormonal imbalances as that that axis between your brain and your ovaries starts to dysregulate as you get closer to menopause.
You mentioned people coming in and misinformation. Are there some common threads to the misinformation that people get in this area?
So I would say, you know, more the misinformation is this idea that there's like a magic pill that's going to fix all of this.
That cuts across a lot of medical things right now, by the way.
Indeed it does. But I feel like that's probably where a big concern, that, you know, like people come in and they're just like, yeah, you know, I have all of these things. And we say, great, you do. And, you know, and there are some good fix, but they're... you know, I feel like there are definitely some expectations of like that I can, you know, prescribe or like, oh, if you just take this supplement, you know, that everything will be perfect. And obviously that's never the case. And so I think, you know, with people coming in on one hand, it can be, I don't want to say frustrating, but... you know, I do feel sometimes sad that I have to tell people that their expectations are not going to match.
But I would also think, though, then you get the opportunity to provide a path where they can reach some of those expectations.
Exactly.
And do it realistically.
Yes.
At that point. I would imagine in this, you know, again, from my limited experience, I've been married to the same woman for 30 plus years. So
congratulations.
I don't necessarily have a wide range of viewpoint here, but I would imagine for each woman the symptoms are a little different, or the conditions when they go through basically maybe the menopausal stage. Because to be honest, I remember hearing men with horror stories about their wives, and I never went through that. Everything was pretty much either was fine or I was just flat out ignorant. One of the two. So I imagine for every woman, it's different, isn't it? That probably is part of what you deal with is kind of sorting through every individual situation.
It is. And that's one of the things that I've really loved about working in this community and in the practice model mm-hmm. that our clinic has is that we do have the time to sit with our patients and get to know them. And mm-hmm. it's not just, you know, we do not, I don't recommend getting like hormone levels drawn because I don't want to treat a number. I don't mm-hmm. want to treat like how, you know, like, oh, your progesterone level is, mm-hmm. you know, very high or very low. I want to treat you as a person mm-hmm. and, well, or your wife.
Well, yeah, yeah.
As it turns out.
Well, actually,
but mm-hmm. I feel like mm-hmm. We, you know, as a clinic, like me and my mm-hmm. My partners are very dedicated to wanting to sit down and get to know the person mm-hmm. to find a treatment plan that works for them and right. not for a set of numbers.
Mm-hmm. You know, we ought to talk often on this show with various different health conditions about, you know, people maybe not doing enough screening, checking, etc. In your area of medicine, is that common as well?
Yeah, I mean I would say that's definitely something mm. that happens. I mean, screening in nothing's comfortable in a gynecologist's office.
That's why I understand. Yes,
and so you know it's an easy visit to want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And really, the symptoms for a lot of gynecologic disorders are pretty silent until they become a problem. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy for an otherwise mm-hmm. really healthy woman to just say, well, I don't need a breast mm-hmm. exam. I don't need to do cervical cancer screening and put it off. And so as with everything, I feel like that's mm-hmm. something that can definitely get missed. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I do feel like that's the thing.
Okay, yeah. So I think it's once a year is kind of the guidance.
Yeah, so I recommend my patients, usually I start seeing patients around, usually around 18. We can see pediatric patients, and there's a handful of things that we see mm-hmm. Younger patients for. But generally, I start seeing patients at 18. And I usually see mm-hmm. them until every other year until 40.
Sure.
And then at 40, I recommend a yearly mm-hmm. A yearly appointment with a breast and pelvic exam.
Mm-hmm. I'll go the obstetrics part here a little bit, too. I kind of left that out there. Do people, when they go to an obstetrician, does it make sense to start almost while you're in the process of thinking about being pregnant?
So, especially if there is a specific health concern, it is helpful to see people for a preconception mm-hmm. consultation to talk through to make sure that we're maximizing mm-hmm. Lifestyle modifications before you get pregnant instead of waiting until afterwards, where you are a little bit more limited mm-hmm. on all the things that you can offer. So we do definitely see patients for preconception consultations. Generally, I would say often the case mm-hmm. is that people don't know that they are going to be in the office until
I was going with actually the best case scenario.
Which is they
fought it out and okay, now is the time, blah blah blah, and you.
Yeah.
And you go from there.
So often I'll have people that will come in and they'll combine a wellness visit,
yeah.
like an annual wellness visit. And mm-hmm. then, oh, by the way, I'm hoping to get pregnant in the next year. And so that's a really
common way to go about it.
But I do mm-hmm. have people that, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, I've been on this medication or et cetera. And so I want to come in and talk about this before, just to make sure that I'm doing all the things that, you know, right before we really are starting this process.
Sure. I'll go to the other. I'll go to the older women, the senior women. How often, I mean, do you reduce how often you get a check or more?
So it's kind of a varying age because, you know, in our community, women are active and for a very long time and are living like very active, vibrant lives.
Right.
And so still coming in regularly, is still a good idea to do those exams. I would say most, a lot of women after just throwing out a number, but around 70 will decrease the number of times that they come in.
Sure.
So we stop doing routine cervical cancer screening with pap smears after 65.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so a lot of people will start spacing out their visits after that. Because as you get older, a lot of people increase the number of doctors that they have to see on a regular basis.
True. Yeah. I think that may be coming here. Yes.
I will sometimes tell people to just to see me every other year. So that way they still stay current as an established patient.
Right.
But to decrease one doctor that they have to see every year. but that way, if they do have a specific problem, we're available for them to come in, but they don't have to make it. It doesn't have to be an annual occurrence.
So again, Providence Hood River Women's Clinic. It is there.
We are here.
The thing you wanted to mention. If someone has questions and may want to acquire your services, you and your partners, what do you do?
So you would call our office.
Give the number. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's good.
At 541-387-8940.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make an appointment. Right now, all four of us are accepting patients. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there is a long wait for a little bit. There is a pretty long wait to get in for pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And I do think that our schedules are... Mm-hmm. All four of us have openings and would be happy to fill those with wonderful new people.
Dr. Kristen Kendall, Providence Hood River Women's Clinic, OBGYN, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is 8:53 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap up the morning after this.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show. On the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. It is 8:54 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We've got a few more minutes here. I think we're out of breaks now, aren't we? Because we took the one early. Get Kristen in here. Okay. Just making sure out there, folks. Live radio. Here we are. No net, as they say. I'll start out by telling you what's coming up on the show tomorrow. Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich will join us. I'm not sure if he'll be here this time or being from Salem, but he is scheduled to be with us. We'll find out what's all going on in Salem. Second half of the show, Marty Cantola-Dane is going to join us. We'll talk about communication and all those things. Monday, we'll talk Port of Hood River. I know Christy Chapman's going to be one of the port commissioners here. And we'll talk to the Dallas Area Chamber of Commerce on Monday, and specifically Northwest Cherry Festival in this case, as we'll have Lise Farquharson with us. Cherry Festival, of course, coming up next weekend in the Dalles. Tuesday, we'll talk about the Binge and White Salmon Community Cleanup. I think Tamara Tappell is going to join us for that. We'll have the mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, with us. Wednesday, we'll talk to Washington State Senator Paul Harris, as we'll be in the home stretch of the legislative session. We'll see if what we know about budget at that point. I think it's the end of next weekend that they hit the 105-day session mark. There's been talk of a special session in Washington. And we'll talk about Washington Gorge Action Programs as well on Wednesday. So all that coming up over the next few days. We're also in the process, by the way. I've got some emails I've got to go through from last night. We're in the process of booking candidates for some of the special elections in our area to be on. May 20th, there'll be a special district elections going on. And we're going to talk, hopefully, Port of Hood River Commission. Hood River County School Board's got an open at large seat, and we'll talk about some D21 seats as well with contested races. So we're trying to get all those booked in. If you got an email from me as a candidate, please answer back as quickly as you can so we can get everybody scheduled in here on the dates that we have remaining coming up to the election, which May 20th is the special election date. So that's what's coming up on our little radio program. We will tell you about a couple things going on in our area. We should note the Last Days of Jesus pageant is going on. I guess, I don't know what they call it, festival pageant. I'm not sure exactly how they phrase it. I'm sorry. But it's going on. Starting this evening with Maundy Thursday, 7 o'clock, the Dallas High School Auditorium. Worship at 6:30. And that's going to be then followed by Good Friday tomorrow evening at 7 on the steps of the Wasco County Courthouse, continued at First Christian Church, 8 o'clock Easter Sunday morning at First Christian Church as well. Also, we should mention Easter Egg Scramble, of course. The Columbia Gorge Toyota Honda Bi-Coastal Media Easter Egg Scramble is going to be at Lewis and Clark Festival Park in the Dalles, 11 o'clock Saturday morning. We will see you out there. As for kids age 1 to 10, we've got the 1 to 2 age group, then 3 to 4, 5 to 6, 7 to 8, 9 to 10. We try to keep it as organized as you can make those things. And also in Hood River, the 13th Annual Community Easter Egg and Easter Safety Fair is going to be on Saturday from 10 to noon at Jackson Park. I don't have it in front of me. It's been emailed to me. I know there's something going on in Lyle as well. In fact, let me see here if I can real quick call it up. They're doing one in Lyle as well, an Easter egg hunt. And there it is. Okay, I've got it. Good. It's going to be on Saturday from 10 to noon, the Easter Bunny and Easter Egg Hunt, the Lyle Activity Center Green Space on Highway 14. That'll be Saturday from 10 until noon. You can get your picture taken with the Easter Bunny there and get some candy as well. Easter Bunny is also going to be at ours in the Dalles as well. So the Easter Bunny is busy. This is the Easter Bunny's time of year to be busy. We're done. I don't have anything else to say. For Cameron Eisenberg in the studio, I'm Mark Bailey. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Get some fresh air with the Slammin' Salmon Click-A-Tat Trail 5K Fun.